Greetings of love to each one this evening. It's a blessing to be here this evening with you. Trust that the Spirit of God would continue to direct our worship and that He might be able to speak to us through His Word. I was blessed by the service thus far, and especially the teaching. Found out, I don't know if the brother was thinking about it, that the sermon tonight has to do very closely with the subject that he was speaking to us about. Tonight, the root of bitterness, dealing with the root of bitterness, is pretty closely tied with some of the thoughts that were being shared in the class here in the auditorium. So I appreciated that. In fact, I think some of those thoughts, may many of them, bear repeating. As we think about dealing with the root of bitterness, our title indicates that bitterness is something wrong, it is something with roots, and it must be dealt with if it is present in any one of our lives. It's something wrong, it's something with roots, and it's something which must be dealt with if it is present in any one of us. I believe that dealing with bitterness is something that we all may need to deal with in life at some point. But to my observation, it seems as though some people struggle with it more than others do. In any case, the root of bitterness must be worked on if the fruit or symptoms of bitterness are visible in my life. First thing I want to look at is a question. What is bitterness? What is it? Back in Deuteronomy 28, verse 18, Moses warned God's people and said, "Lest there be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood." That immediately gives us the idea that there's a root and it's very, very bitter. I don't know how many of you have ever tried to eat a green persimmon. I know that that is something really bitter. Another thing that I've tasted already, being from Central America, is if you ever have taken a malaria treatment, the pills for malaria treatment, that chloroquina, is extremely bitter. I don't know what other bitter things, medicines, fruits, or vegetables, or what you think is bitter, but the Bible gives us that as a word picture, and you think about something that is bitter. Bitterness indicates something that is sour and acrid, acidic, something you just don't enjoy the taste of. Bitterness indicates that. In the Old Testament writing, if you look at word meanings, bitterness would indicate something that causes chafing. For instance, a shoe that's about two sizes too small, or a size and a half too small. It just does not work to wear it very long. You can maybe cram into it and jam into it and get there. But it's a tight shoe. And if you would imagine another word picture, what causes chafing, you think about carrying a heavy backpack, possibly with about 80 pounds in it, a shoulder backpack. And you carry that for about 3 or 4 hours, and your shoulders will let you know that there's something going on right over this area here. It's chafing, and that's a little bit what bitterness does to us. If we carry that weight with us, it begins to chafe. Old Testament also refers to great discontentment, something that makes a person totally miserable. Another meaning, if we go to the New Testament, we think of another aspect of bitterness, which adds color to its meaning, to pack or to be pressed down. Imagine yourself being in an extremely tight place. Like that man who I understand a number of years ago, I actually saw a picture of it. He worked in some kind of shipping department and with airlines and things, and he was in Cuba and he wanted to come to the United States. And somehow he packed himself inside a box. And in a small box, wooden box. And how he lived and how he planned that, I do not know, but I saw a picture of him crawling out of that box. It was a tight, small box. And he wanted to get to his destination and didn't want to have any indication that there was a human being inside there. How he rigged that, I do not know, but that was probably a word picture of bitterness, being packed in a box like that. Something extremely heavy, stuffed into a tight place. That's New Testament word color on this word bitterness. A dictionary gives several meanings that also apply. Causing grief or pain. Just grief and pain and deep hurt. Something that's hard to admit or to bear. Just can't deal with it. Just more than I can handle kind of thing. Something that is painful and distressing, grievous and heavy. It wears on the mind, it wears on the body, it wears on the emotions. It even affects your appetite, possibly. And the brother sharing tonight gave me another thought on this. He said it's a dangerous drug in any dose. Bitterness is a dangerous drug in any dose. And I have to admit that that's pretty true. The chafing and the heaviness and the uncomfortableness and the great discontentment that goes along with it. Now I'd like to look, second point, the adverbs of bitterness. How, when, and where? What? Maybe we could add. What are the adverbs of bitterness? Where does it get started? How does it initiate in your life and mine? Where does it potentially incubate? I would just share a few little things, and you can just decide is which one of the adverbs may fit there. And some of these, both adverbs and causes, potential causes for bitterness, it seems like they intertwine sometimes. Because sometimes one bad experience leads to another, and it just kind of like overlaps, and after a while you don't know where it started or stopped, but it makes bitterness and causes it in people's lives. Number one, a prolonged period of stress. Just one thing after another, be that a physical ailment that just doesn't go away for extended periods of time, maybe financial stress, maybe just rocky situations in home life, possibly. Prolonged stress. Another one, heartfelt grief. It can cause bitterness. 1 Samuel 1, verse 10, Hannah was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore because of her barrenness. She saw her, how would you refer to that? Her husband's other wife with fruitfulness and children, and she desired that year by year by year. And she felt very left out. And although he loved her very much, she felt deep grief in her heart that she was not a mother. She felt it very keenly. And it says she was in bitterness of soul, and she poured out her complaint to the Lord and wept sore. Deep grief there. Third, cause of bitterness. How, when, and where? Lost opportunities. Classic examples of Jacob and Esau. The Bible speaks very clearly in Hebrews chapter 12. And brother already read it this evening. I don't know if I will reread it much, but it does say, looking diligently lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. And it talks here about a man like Esau. Esau realized the impact of losing his birthright and how Jacob had tricked him into exchanging his birthright for a little plate of soup. He realized that at some point in his life. And he cried, it says, if you go back there to that story in Genesis 27, he cried whenever he was there with his father and realized that his brother tricked him out of that blessing that his father Isaac truly wanted to give to him, and Jacob tricked him. The supplanter did that trick in his life. He realized it, and it says he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry. And it seems like that bitterness wound up with him to the extreme that he wanted to kill his brother. It was intense. And evidently, he never really and truly dealt with it. But lost opportunities can cause bitterness in my life and yours. Some lost opportunities are because of our own poor choices or because of our own misjudgment. Other lost opportunities occur because someone else has manipulated circumstances and someone else has maybe taken advantage of something that rightfully could have been mine, and they maneuvered things and finagled things in such a way that they got the advantage instead of me. And sometime later you find out, if that would have been different, that and that, I would have had that whole deal. I could have gotten that job. I could have had that opportunity. And it's gone. And there's no way to get it back. And sometimes, if we think about that, we, like Esau, can develop a bitter attitude. Number four, disappointments in life. Disappointments in life. And something just happens, and we're in this, and we just try to figure out, why did this have to happen? And why did that have to happen? And sometimes it's compounded by other things that are happening in life. The Bible says in Proverbs that a foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him. If you have a brother, if you have a sister tonight, if you have a son or daughter that's not walking in the ways of the Lord, and it seems like they're extremely hard against Christian principles and things that maybe they were taught in the past, and you allow yourself to dwell on that and dwell on that, those disappointments can really, really provoke bitterness in the human heart if we don't find a way to get victory over them. Another one is hurts and emotional pain. This is very closely intertwined with prolonged stress, especially if it's for an extended period of time. It can cause bitterness eventually. Another way that bitterness sets in is a situation in which there are seemingly no options, no way to get out. We're in a situation, we're in that stuffed tight box, and there's no way to get out. God's people in 2 Kings chapter 14 were in a situation like that. It says here, 2 Kings 14, verse 26, the following: "For the Lord saw the affliction of Israel, that it was very bitter, for there was not any shut up, nor any left, nor any helper for Israel." And if you ever get yourself in a place where there's no options, you're at the end of your rope. In fact, I'll tell you, I got a text from a young man a couple weeks ago, and he says, "I'm at the end of my rope." I immediately got on the phone with him. I said, "Son, young man, what can we do for you? Is there anything we can do to help?" Because he said he was at the end of his rope, and that is a bad place to live. Situations in which there are seemingly no options. Let's go to Lamentations if you care to. The prophet Jeremiah, as he was called into his ministry, God told him, "There's no one really will pay attention to your message. When it's all said and done, the people will do what they want to do. They will go into captivity. They will not listen." God as much as told Jeremiah that from the beginning, and Jeremiah preached his heart out, we could say, and he went through several types of persecution and saw much of his labor just as it were being flushed down the drain, and no way was it going to work out. And the people then did go into captivity, and he got to watch it and observe it and live in it. And then as he has the backwash of that emotion come over him, he writes the book of Lamentations. And he writes here in chapter, the whole book is lamentable, obviously. That the name itself indicates that. But look what it says here in chapter 3. "He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. When I shout and cry, he shutteth out my prayer." It's like God doesn't even listen to my prayers. "He hath enclosed my ways." I'm now in chapter 3, verse 9. "Enclosed my ways with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked." And then he goes on in verse 12, he says, "He hath bent his bow. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow." He felt like God had him set up as a target, and he was aiming at him. He just felt God with that bow and arrow just ready to let it fly. That's the way he felt here. Like no way to get out. A derision broken my teeth with gravel stones. And I said in verse 18, my strength and my hope has perished from the Lord. It seemed like the connection he would have had with God when that God who called him was just non-existent anymore. And it caused bitterness. It was heavy for him. We'll stop with that. We might get back to that a little bit later. Another reason for bitterness, a bad or maybe unpleasant home situation. You think of Joseph. Was it Joseph's fault that things turned out in his home that the way they did? Was it Joseph's fault that his father favored him above the other brothers? Was it Joseph's fault? Was it Joseph's fault that his father one day made him a coat of many colors? Was that his fault that that happened? Probably not. Was it his fault that he had those dreams and went and told his brothers those dreams? Maybe it was normal, I would suppose. If you have an interesting dream, you tell people. At least some people do that. Joseph had an unfortunate experience, not so much with his father, but with his brothers. But that kind of thing can really provoke bitterness. And so many times, bitterness that's a result of home life struggles is not the fault of the person themselves that is experiencing that struggle. I'll just give you one illustration. This happened in another country, another church setting, but it's one of my relatives. Him and his brothers had a dad who was a preacher, a man who stood behind the pulpits and preached the word. But those boys knew what kind of dad they had. And it did not go well at home. And whenever those boys would get their report cards, I have another brother-in-law that was in the same class with this man I'm speaking of and his brothers. And he says that whenever the grades on the report card, when the teacher made the report card, were below a certain level, those boys would get down in front of the teacher's desk with tears and on their knees begging the teacher to change his mind, to change the grade in the report card. Because if they went home and their father, the preacher, opened the report card and saw those low grades, those boys were tied over a 55-gallon drum and ropes around their legs and their hands. And he was beat and beat and beat until he was done beating. And the boys knew it. And they would do anything to get them grades changed. And yet their behavior was the kind of behavior that was not becoming. And they had struggles and problems. And I just would say, if you're a kind of father or mother that does that kind of thing to your children, may God have mercy on your soul. Because that kind of thing provokes bitterness in the heart of a child and they cannot stop. They don't know where to go for help if they don't deal with it. And that makes deep roots down into the human heart. Deep roots. Another cause of bitterness. We're speaking of adverbs of bitterness. The terminal illness or death of a family member or a close friend many times in life has caused bitterness. Terminal illness or death of a family member or a close friend. After losing her two sons and her husband, Naomi in Ruth 1:20 said, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. Do you know what Naomi means? It means pleasant. Do you know what Mara means? It means bitter. She wanted her whole name to be changed because she had lost her husband and then her two sons. And it was just such a heavy grief to her. She wanted her whole name to be changed from pleasant to bitter. Almost always, people who struggle with bitterness as a result of illness or death have or can potentially develop, this can develop into intense bitterness against God, because ultimately God is the one that caused the accident to occur, the sickness to set in. God didn't heal. The accident was fatal instead of survivable. And so, people generally develop that bitterness intensely toward God himself. And in some cases, it seems like it would be impossible to change it. The bitterness is so deep in the mind and in the heart. There's a man that delivers parts to our shop, and he's the kind of fellow that he, in a way, he jokes with you, and yet one day he was really talking bad, and I just said, maybe it's just a moment to talk to him. So I went out. He was getting around the bed of the pickup there to get back in after he delivered some parts. I said, how are you doing today? I said, do you think about God today? He said, I'll just tell you what. He says, I don't have much time for him. My son died a couple years ago, and I think he stole him from me. My son died prematurely, and I think he stole him from me. And I tell you, that is an expression of a very, very bitter man. And without God and without Christ and without forgiveness, he doesn't know how to cope with it. And so he just goes on in bitterness. It just goes on and goes on. Talking about death. Jeremiah 35, verse 15 says, a voice was heard in Ramah, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children and refused to be comforted for her children because they were not. This is a reference to two different occasions in Scripture. If you look back, it was the occasion whenever as Jacob was traveling out of the land where he was with his father-in-law, and as they're traveling back to the land of Canaan, back to the homeland. And as they are en route, the Bible tells us that Rachel gave birth to her second son and her last son, and evidently in the childbirth itself, she passed away. It gives that indication, and she wanted to call his name Benoni, which gives the idea of great anguish. In great anguish, she brought forth this child, and it was evidently a very emotional time for her and very sad time for her, and it says that as the boy was born, she passed away. It gives that indication there. But there was weeping, there was intense feeling in that moment. It's a reflection ahead in time from Jeremiah 31:15 to the day whenever Herod sent out that royal decree that all babies around and surrounding Bethlehem would be slain because he was trying to catch one. He was trying to eliminate one little one, baby Jesus. He was trying to eliminate that one, and he said, every child from 2 years and down must be slain. And can you imagine what would happen if around the Newville or Carlisle area, every home where there was a two-year-old or younger would be killed? What kind of emotion that would bring forth? What kind of feelings would be erupting from the hearts of mothers and fathers and siblings as any child from 2 years and down were to be slaughtered? Just because some ugly king made such a rule. And these soldiers would come in and grab the one that's almost three and grab the one that was just born and kill him just for the blast of it, just to eliminate the Lord Jesus. That was his whole purpose. And everyone around Bethlehem knew what that was about when that happened. It says, lamentation and bitter weeping. Rachel weeping for her children refused to be comforted because they were not. Intense bitterness, I tell you. Intense bitterness and deep feelings. Another reason why bitterness occurs is a sad experience in church life. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs, and it is ever so true, a brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city. You have a young person that watched a church go through division and through conflicts in leadership or where their parents didn't quite fit in. And after a while, the things get harder and more difficult and more dark. Many young people have grown up in that kind of a situation. After a while, they say, this is it. I have no more of this. I'm going to get on with life, go do something else. But down in that heart, there's bitterness that just, the roots just go down and go down. Bitterness in church life. And it is true that they're harder to be won than a strong city. Another reason for bitterness, adverbs of bitterness, a serious financial setback or bad situation, maybe financial exploitation. I'm thinking of a case right now where there was a father who just has his 21-year-old son basically working for him the same way he was when he was 12. And these children are getting older and older, and the father's just, hand it in, boy. Hand it in, girl. Hand it in. I need it here. Financial exploitation. And do I need to tell you that it's making some real trouble in that home? Do I need to say that? Because they're being financially exploited. That happened back to the children of Israel in Exodus. The Bible says so in Exodus 1:13. And the Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and in brick and in all manner of service. In the field and all their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor. And those words are pretty strong words, but it caused bitterness. All right, so much for that. Where is the root of bitterness? We've already referred to it some. Questioner in the adult book this evening said, what is at the root of unforgiveness and bitterness? What is at the root of it? And that's what we want to look at in this study tonight. Where is the root of bitterness? From my limited understanding, this is a third question. What is the root of bitterness? Where is it? Where is it? From my limited understanding of this subject, bitterness lies deep in the heart and spirit of a person. Deep in the spirit and soul of a person. The invisible. The roots are invisible, but the fruits and symptoms are not invisible. Proverbs 14:10 says, the heart knoweth his own bitterness, and a stranger doth not intermeddle with his joy. James 3:14 says, but if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. Spanish gives the idea of bitter jealousy and rivalry. It's deep and it's bitter. That thing of jealousy and rivalry. And he got ahead a little bit, and I've got to get ahead a little bit. And he managed to get that, or she got that new kitchen. Now I'm just going to struggle and fight to see how far I can get in life. And it oftentimes is just because of jealousy and rivalry. And it gets extremely bitter. And a lot of things happen in church life whenever that sets in. A lot of bad things happen. What are the symptoms of bitterness, number four? If you were to identify bitterness in the life of a person, how would you identify it? What are the symptoms? What are the fruits of it? How would you say that person has some bitterness to deal with? Again, it's only a few points, not all inclusive by any stretch of the imagination, but number one is a critical spirit. Did you ever walk up to somebody and they criticize everything from the truck that just drove past to the way that man takes care of his yard, to the way she keeps her house, to the way that person over there does her cooking? They just criticize and criticize and criticize up and down and all around. It's just hard to get done with it. It's just that he does pretty good there, but look at this. Now I just don't understand it. I mean, just critical of everything that's happening. Quick to criticize anyone or anything. Expert at fault finding. Is there a chance that person's bitter? Possibly. Another symptom or fruit of bitterness. Frequent rehearsal of life's dark moments. Bad experiences. Interpersonal relationship struggles, perhaps in the home, perhaps in church, perhaps in school, even business life. Just going over it and going over it. And you talk to that person, what's your name? Yeah, nice to see you. And maybe they didn't get into it that time, but you meet them again, and after a while, they're into this story. And you find out, you talk to somebody else. Did you ever meet so-and-so? Yeah. After I talked to him a few times, he was right into that same thing about what happened way back there. Frequent rehearsal of those dark moments in life, and they can retell that story and retell that story and retell that story. Another symptom of bitterness, another one of the fruits of bitterness, continuous griping over pet peeves and personal grievances. Just going over it, and you can tell, but they're very dark and gloomy people to be with because they're all the time talking about things that don't suit them and things that they don't like. Like that lady used to come to an old farmer's market many years ago. My school teacher used to talk about her, and he said she'd come in there every week. The same old people and the same old junk. Same old people and the same old junk. That was her attitude in life. Very bitter. Very bitter. Too much focus on oneself. There's a little quote that goes, a person wrapped up in himself makes a very small package. There's a story told of a lady who was one day telling about herself and where she's been and what she's been doing and how much money she's made and where she's traveled to and all the things she's got accomplished in life. And she was going on and on and on talking to her friend about herself. And finally she wound up the conversation and says, "Well, I've talked quite a bit about myself, and so what do you have to say about me?" It's just like wrapped within herself. No interest in another person. No interest in the other's well-being. Wrapped up in themselves. And like the quote goes, a person wrapped up in himself makes a very small package. And pretty tight, by the way. Pretty confining whenever we're all selfish and wrapped up in ourselves. The Bible says another way we can identify bitterness. It says in Romans 3:14, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So the mouth is continually putting on display, or at least within ear range, what is bitterness, where it is. Because it's coming out of the inside, coming out of the spirit and heart of a person. Symptoms of bitterness, another one, general unrest in life. Often trying to distance yourself from that bad person, that bad family, that bad church situation that caused you to be bitter in the first place. Maybe the bad job situation that just you feel just squandered you financially. And there's unrest. And you want to get away from that person that made you bitter. You want to go miles away, and many miles sometimes. Get in another church at least. Go some other place where that person isn't around. An unrest in life. This one that I'm speaking of earlier, was speaking of earlier, this is my relative. At one point in life, he moved large, great distances to get away from some things. And he got there, he didn't have much more money than some people do. And he went out nevertheless and bought a brand new, and it was probably around year 2000, brand new Dodge conversion van. And right behind that, and with him at about the same transaction, one bought himself a brand new pickup truck. Totally unable, but you know, if I have this new van and this new pickup, maybe I'll get myself somewhere. Maybe I'll be something. And he moved at least 3,000 miles, if not further, from where he grew up. Maybe if I move far away, I'll find some help in life. General unrest in life. And then there's this kind of thing of intense involvements, another symptom. Intense involvements in business life. Just wrapped up in business and money making and business dealings. Just into it to the ears. Because at least that way, when you're into that, you don't think about the other problems quite as much. Intense involvement in extreme sports. Symptom of bitterness, I dare say. Whenever you just depend on the next adrenaline rush to just kind of, for a moment, forget that bad, gnawing poison that's down in there someplace that's just growing and getting bigger and predominating the mind and thought. Intense involvement in erotic activity and diversions. You wonder if you see a young person, or an old person for that matter, intensely involved in erotic behavior. You might be looking at someone who has intense problems with bitterness, because it's a devil's counterfeit to somehow put that to rest. But it never works. It never works. It never works. Military. Referring again to my friend that I was referring to earlier. His boys grew up in the home, and one of them got to around 14 or 15 years old. The father couldn't handle him, couldn't take care of him, so he declared a curse on him. He just said, "You're up. Good for nothing." Well, the young man at that age wants to be worth something to his dad. That's one of the most, it's a very crucial age for a young man, for a young lady. to be 14, 15, 16. They need more mom and dad than they ever had before, and they need it. And they don't need mom and dad to just say, you good for nothing, who knows what, get out of here. And that's what happened in that boy's life. This father who had these severe punishments did that to his son, so his son decided, you know what, U.S. military. In 2001, I saw a picture of him. Aircraft carrier in Iraq getting some kind of a trophy for something he did. Within a year and a half, that boy was in mental institution, and he goes from one medicine to another mental hospital to another medicine to now he works about 3 months. And I'm going to tell you, brothers and sisters, tonight and all that are listening, in most cases, bitterness, if it's not dealt with, will lead to more and more sin and affect more and more people. It will, because it grows, and those roots go down into the human heart, and they grow out. And if it's not taken care of in this generation, it'll go on to another one. It will. And I'm burdened about it because I've seen it too many times in human experience. And so the military just offers great appeals and be somebody. But you aren't really anybody if you haven't dealt with that problem down in the heart. There's never peace and never joy. There's no help to be had unless we follow through with the last point. How do we deal with the root of bitterness? First of all, we need to face the sin for what it is. Bitterness is sin. And to deal with the roots of sin, we must call it sin and deal with it that way. When these fruits are visible in my life, I need to deal with the roots, because John the Baptist says the axe must be laid to the root of the tree to be able to find help. Although we may not be able to control the things that brought bitterness into our experience, refusal to deal with it will only lead to more and more sin and affect yet more and more people, because some bitterness has gone on for generations and generations and generations because a root of bitterness got started and somebody refused to deal with it properly. How to deal with the root of bitterness? If you feel that you're struggling with bitterness, open yourself for counsel. Please do. Find a kind pastor somewhere. You know, on this side of the house, find a sister that you have confidence in. And that's another thing. People with bitterness in their lives have a hard job putting confidence in anybody. But please find somebody to get help from, talk to, get at least a prayer partner or something. Please look for help if you're struggling with bitterness. Someone who is trustworthy and wise, with prayer and spiritual insight, such a person whom you may counsel with can help you to see the issues at hand and what you should do or possibly can do to help the situation. This can help us to discover if we carry the blame or if the blame lies largely with somebody else. But in many, many cases where bitterness has occurred, if I am the one who is bitter, I have also failed at some level in the relationship. Maybe initially it was not my fault. Maybe initially it was not my thing. But at some level, there's a high chance that I have failed in relating to the bitterness that later grew into my life. Even though that bitterness be in a small way. How to deal with the root of bitterness, number three. Maybe before I do that, I'll just make one comment. If you're needing advice regarding church fellowship issues, if because of this and that happened in church fellowship relationships that caused you to be at odds with somebody, if that is your case, I would like to pass on to the advice that someone gave to me one day. They said that if you're looking for a church fellowship, get your advice from a person who is satisfied and happy with their church fellowship, and not from somebody who is disgruntled and unhappy with theirs. So if you're needing advice regarding church fellowship issues, get your advice from someone who is satisfied with the setting he finds himself in and not a person who is not settled. Because the person who is not settled and just goes floating around year by year and not sure where he stands, and you go to him, you might not get very sound advice. But I am an advocate of finding counsel from a spiritual source if there is bitterness in your life. Now, number three, at times, dealing with the root of bitterness requires a direct and personal contact, conversation with the person, church setting, whatever, where the problem occurred. And right along with that, we should be quick to acknowledge and apologize where we ourselves have failed in relating to a stressful, painful situation. We might not have been the cause of the blame. Maybe not, the blame is not largely with us. But we can at least confess where we have failed in relating to a painful and stressful situation. And sometimes that direct personal contact is necessary, and sometimes it's necessary even with an arbitrator, someone who can listen to you and listen to the other person to see if any kind of reconciliation might be available. There are times when fathers on their deathbed have gone back through, as they're there and they know that death is imminent. Death is any moment. And in those moments have called children in and apologized for things that happened way, way back in life. I could tell you a story or two regarding that, but this time won't permit that this evening. But it's sometimes very necessary to have a personal contact with that situation, church, whatever, where the bitterness really got a root in your life. Another point, with prayer and fasting, you can help. There's help and solution regarding this bitterness. It can bring peace to your heart with prayer and fasting, and sometimes you may never be able to go back and talk to that person. Maybe you never will be able to undo all the damage that's been done. But with prayer and fasting before God, we can find some help and at least get our own heart at rest about it. Another point, a heartfelt surrender to the perfect will of God. If you're dealing with bitterness tonight and want to get to the root of it, sometimes it's just helpful to have a heartfelt surrender to the perfect will of God. God knows where you were born. He knows who your parents were. He knows what church you were in. He knows what school and what kind of mean punishments that teacher might have given you at some point. He knows the circumstances you're in and what has formed you to be the person that you are. And sometimes we just need to say, God, I don't know what you were doing, but I accept your perfect will for my life. Whether it be past, present, and as we look at the future, we can still trust in that all-knowing God who knows, and we can rest in his will. Bitterness must be put away. The brother already referred to that this evening and read the verses there in Ephesians. They're also in my notes here, but I will read them again because not everyone was in to hear that other reading. It says here, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Tonight I'd just like to make clear, if you forget everything else, remember at least this, that the best antidote for bitterness is forgiveness. When the offended person, that bitter person, gets on his knees with the one who caused the offense, they find a common ground. When we get at the foot of the cross and realize who Jesus was and what he forgave us of, and that was an excellent point there in the lesson this evening. When we get down and realize that I have failed, and maybe this other person's failed, but I have failed, and we get down at the foot of the cross, we're on common ground, and we can find forgiveness then. And even if the situation were as dramatic as that of Stephen or that of Jesus Christ himself, none of us have ever experienced in our bitterness yet what they did at the end of their lives. And yet what did they say in the dying moments? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And it's very possible that the person who provoked bitterness in your life never realized what was happening when it was occurring in your life that left those deep scars in your heart and life. It may very well be that they never knew what was happening. And maybe they've looked back and regretted it and yet not known what to do. But if you forgive them, they can be free and you can be free. We need to forgive the one that did the wrong. Whenever that freedom begins to dawn on our hearts, freedom from this bitterness, It leaves us feeling free. And that freedom, I can testify to the fact tonight that it's delightful and it works. God's gift of forgiveness can work in my life and give me peace and joy, even in the darkest of circumstances. You look over in the book of Acts chapter 8, talks about a man who came there and he earlier was a magician. He was pretty famous in that community. And Peter comes in and starts preaching the gospel. And as he preaches the gospel, people respond to it. And the Holy Ghost begins to work. And these men and women get power from the Holy Ghost in their lives. And so this man also wants to get in on this idea. He wants to come up and be part of this, because now he sees that he's not gaining as much money in his magician work as he was before, and so on. So he comes up to the apostle, Peter, and he offers some money to see if he can get this gift of the Holy Ghost. And what did Peter say? "Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God." And if we're living with our lives steeped in bitterness tonight, Peter could tell us the same thing. Your heart's not right in the sight of God. Repent. What should the person, how should we deal with the root of bitterness? Repent, it says, of this thy wickedness, and pray, if perhaps God will forgive the thought of thine heart, that it may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Oh, it sounds pretty rough, doesn't it? But that's the way bitterness does if we don't deal with it. And we need to repent of it and by God's power break loose from it, because God can break the chains of bondage, of bitterness. Because those roots go deep. God can take those roots out. We were earlier in Lamentations chapter 3. And I'd just like to go back there to close this message tonight, thinking about dealing with the root of bitterness. I read to you here about some of these dramatic things that Jeremiah says. But Jeremiah, at some point, got his eyes off of these dreadful circumstances that were all around him on every hand, and he started to think about something. He started to think about God. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21. "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." Think about that. "Because his compassions fail not." Verse 23. "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." And where's this man that was just saying, "He shutteth out his ears from my prayer"? That was just a couple verses ago. And here he says, "Thy mercies are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." We maybe ought to start singing that song just now. It's a good thing to think about God's faithfulness. It's in the same chapter. It's amazing. "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him." That sounds like somebody got over their bitterness, doesn't it? "The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh for him." Are you seeking for God tonight? He'll be good to you. Are you interested in getting rid of bitterness in your life? God will be good to you. As we begin to get our eyes off ourselves, our circumstances, and our troubles, and begin to focus on Almighty God and his will and his perfect plan, our bitterness changes into blessing and peace and joy. I trust that these thoughts can give us some insight into what bitterness is, what its symptoms are, and most of all, how to deal with the root of bitterness, lest many be defiled. May God add his blessing.